In the name of Jesus this morning, that's a name we've been hearing a lot of, and it is certainly a very precious name. I'd like to invite your attention this morning to several passages. I've been blessed so many in so many different ways with these thoughts in Revelation and how Christ is the center of the church there. But in Matthew chapter 8, we have Jesus healing somebody and making a profound statement in that. In Matthew 8, and in verse 5, right after the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus went down and he was amongst the people. And this is what he says. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, I start reading with verse 5, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. You know, I suppose some of us can remember when we heard that story in Sunday school or in Bible school. And maybe there was a picture to color with that. And it was an impressive story. But this story, like the story of redemption, is many layered. There are lots of things there. I appreciated Brother Daniel's thought here on that. When Christ speaks, he speaks several messages at the same time, and some of us hear one thing and some might hear something else. And we can praise the Lord that all of us can be blessed by that. And that thought was a blessing to me. But here Jesus is speaking, or the centurion is speaking, and he says, I am a man under authority. That's an interesting word because we all have an idea and a perception of what authority is. But what Jesus was speaking of was not speaking of, or what the centurion was speaking. He was a ruler over 100 men. It's where we get our English word for century. Centurion has got the same root, means 100. But that's not the point he was speaking of. He was saying, I'm a man under authority. I can say, do this, and this man will do it, and do this, and another does it. But he was looking at Jesus, and he was recognizing Jesus as a man under authority. Jesus had the ability to say something, and it would happen. And he saw that in a tremendous way, and maybe even much clearer than many others, that maybe even clearer than what the disciples did. And incidentally, this man must have been a Roman as well, because I don't know if there were any Jewish centurions. He was under Roman rule. So anyhow, this man had a lot of insight, and he could see clearly Jesus' mission and authority. And Jesus made this great comment, where he says, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Indicating again that he was probably outside of Israel. And that That is a tremendous statement just by itself. But what was the great faith so much? And that was that he recognized Jesus for who he was and that he was the Son of God. I've been so blessed with these messages these past few days, and it's many times a blessing. I have to reflect back when I first met Daniel in Messiah Bible School before Daniel and Judy were married. I think they were both there at the time. But I was with the younger set, and he was with the older ones. Daniel, I remember, took the most advanced classes that were offered, and I took the easiest ones that were there. And I remember he gave all the teachers a run for their money, challenging them on thoughts and not in a rebellious way. We were in the same class, in Brother Dan's class of types and shadows, and he pulled out types that I'd never heard of. I mean, never thought about, and it was good. And those things are still happening in his life today and his teaching, so I appreciate that part of it. But in the teachings of Jesus, we have here that Jesus, this man recognized Jesus, the centurion recognized Jesus as God. And that's something that many of his own people didn't recognize. But the very interesting thing about Jesus is that nature of God, and Brother Daniel mentioned this too at one of the earlier sermons, that we can appreciate the love of God more fully when we see his holiness. And it's impressed me that the fact that the holiness and the love of God are not contradictions to each other. They're both there in their fullness and beauty, and one enhances the other. In Matthew 11, verse 28, there's a familiar verse there that says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I wonder if anybody here has a German Bible and can read German. Robert, what is this word, yoke, in verse 30? Yes. No, I don't mind. May not. Okay. It uses the same word, yoke. Somebody told me that the German word was school in this, and I didn't know if that was in the Martin Luther German or not. But anyhow, I could understand enough of that I think I could understand that as the same as what the intent is, what is in English here. But anyhow, Brother Daniel, on one of the earlier messages, mentioned that when Joseph met his brethren, and every man went out from him, and they were terrified, he said, "Come unto me." You know, come is one of the warmest words that we have in the English language. We can direct somebody and say, "Go do this," and give him some good instructions, "Go." But when we say "come," it's a completely different direction. And it's a very warm and an inviting direction. Come. And that's what Joseph said to his brethren, and that's what Jesus is saying to us. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Not only is the warmth of the invitation there, but the promise is there that when you learn my ways, that it's going to be restful to your souls. And incidentally, that's what people are wondering. That's what people are wanting in life. There are many people that are successful financially, but they're looking for fulfillment otherwise. And and it can be found only in following Jesus' way. Matthew 14 is another very interesting come in there. And this is the story of when the disciples were out in a ship and they saw somebody walking on the water, and they were afraid. And Peter was, and Jesus spoke to them. And then verse 29, Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou," I'll back up and read verse 27. "Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And Peter come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." You know, there is a beautiful illustration of God working in the life of Peter. Many times Peter is looked down on because he sank, but he's the only one that walked on the water. It's the only one that I know of that ever walked on the water besides Jesus. But what was the word that Jesus said? Peter said, "If it's really you, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come." It's one of the most beautiful, one of the most warm, one of the warmest, and one of the most inviting words that we have in the English language. Peter, when he was there and he began to sink, Jesus reached out his hand, brought him to himself. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That's the price of discipleship. If we want to come to Jesus, it's taking up our cross. Matthew 19. "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And forbid them not to come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Talking about the special place that children have to come to him. Verse, just a few verses down, same chapter, Jesus talking to the rich young ruler. He says, "If thou wilt be perfect, sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And then I'd like to read just a few out of the last chapter of Revelation. Many, many times we hear the word "come" in the book of Revelation, and we've been hearing that. But four times in the last chapter, he uses that word. Verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Now this is a "come" that's reversed. Jesus is not inviting us to come to him at this point. He's saying, "I will come." And that means he'll come to us. He's going to return to the earth and take his own. Revelation 22:12, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Again, the same thought, that he is actually coming to us in these. And then chapter 22, verse 17, we have this beautiful verse where it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Again, we see that warm invitation of coming to Christ to have our needs met, and he has everything that we need. And then finally in verse 20, "He that testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus." And that is our heart saying this to the Lord for the end of our redemption. Let's answer that invitation with faithfulness and full-heartedness and be faithful to him in that way. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we come before you, we want to thank you for your love and your mercy to us. Thank you for the privilege we have of serving you. Thank you that that we are all, that you are able to fill every need here this morning. And thank you for your faithfulness in our experiences in the past. We pray that you might be with your children wherever they gather to worship you. May you be in their midst and make them and bless them as well. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Want to give our attention.